الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وإمامنا محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. من المعلوم, from that which is well known, أيها الأخوة والأخوات, is that the Deen of Al-Islam encourages and promotes the affair of marriage due to that which it contains within it from benefit in this life as well as the hereafter, from the bringing about of children, from the bringing about and the finding of comfort, love, relaxation, mercy. All of this can be found in the institution of marriage. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He mentioned within His book, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. And from the signs of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is that He has created spouses from amongst yourselves, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, in order that you may find comfort with them. وَجِعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And He has placed between the two of you love, affection, and mercy. Imam As-Sa'di commented upon this verse and the statement of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that He has made from amongst yourselves, meaning that He has made for you spouses, tunasibuhum, that you are appropriate for them and they are appropriate for you. And He has placed between you affection, love, and mercy. Due to which, as Imam As-Sa'di said, you will not find anything between two people in terms of a relationship the way that you will find that which between a husband and his wife. However, at times, the marriage may not work out. And it may result in divorce or khula, two parties parting ways. And there may be children between the two of them. And due to the perfection of Al-Islam, it has not left anything unaddressed. And so we find within the Deen of Al-Islam, legislative rulings connected to those children. So when either of the two parties remarries, the man, he may marry another woman. The woman, she may marry another husband. And therefore, those children from that previous marriage that become stepchildren to the new spouse, Islam has set this particular affair in order. And has given us guidelines by way of which we are able to govern our household, if this may be our situation. So we want to speak tonight regarding something from the affairs of step-parenting in the Deen of Al-Islam. Because here in the West, we find this a lot. Many married spouses and the spouses have children from other marriages, or perhaps from before Islam. This goes for the men and for the women. So what are the rules that are connected to this particular affair? So the speech tonight, it will be by way of three waqafat, or 3 points. And we put them in these 3 points in order to make the information easily remembered and understood by the permission of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So the first point we're going to discuss, what is a stepchild? What is a stepchild? And the second point, it will be, or we're going to discuss, the conditions and states of the stepchildren. And the third point that we're going to discuss is the affair of tarbiyah and cultivation and upbringing of those stepchildren. فَنَقُولُ وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. So we say, and with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is a success, الْوَقْفَ الْأُولَى, the first point. The first point. And speech regarding this first point, it will be based and predicated upon the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, in which He clarifies and defines what is a mahram. The statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Surah An-Nisa, verse 23. Allah Ta'ala clarifies the maharam, meaning those women who are permissible or impermissible for us to marry. So a mahram, what is a mahram? And how does mahramiyya, or how can we affirm mahramiyya? Does anybody know the three ways by way of which mahramiyya, or a person being a mahram for another person, is established? There's three ways. I'll give you one. It's either by way of lineage, by way of blood lineage. Either you're related to that person, and that person is thus mahram. So there's two more. By marriage, musahara, by way of marriage. And what's the third? Rada'a, by way of milk, by way of breastfeeding, suckling. Okay? And some of these maharam, they are permanent mahram. A woman can be a mahram, and she's always was, always will be your mahram. Okay? And you likewise for her, such as your mother, your sister, and so on and so forth. Like this. Some are temporarily your mahram. Alright? They are your mahram for a particular time period. If those conditions are depart or what have you, then that woman is no longer mahram for you. Such as an individual who marries a woman. Her sister is now impermissible for you to marry. If you divorce that woman, or she passes away, now her sister is permissible for you to marry. Okay? So her mahramiyya is temporary. And then you have the other affairs that we will mention by the permission of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So inside of this verse, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 23, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He mentions, after mentioning a number of the maharam, females who are impermissible for us. And we're only going to concentrate upon a portion of the verse. So we're only mentioning a portion. And he mentions, after mentioning a number of women, he says, وَرَبَائِبُكُمْ وَلَّتِي فِي هُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ وَلَّتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُونُوا دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And amongst these maharam, these women that are impermissible for you to marry, are your rabaib. The rabaib, who are within your house. They live within your house from your women folk, meaning from your wives, whom you have entered upon, meaning you have consummated the marriage with that wife. He said, and if it be that you have not consummated the marriage with the wife, then la junaha alaykum, there's no harm upon you, meaning she, that girl, would be permissible for you. So as it relates to this term, raba'ib, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, he mentioned in his tafsir, al-raba'ib jam'u rabiba. This term, raba'ib, it is the plural of rabiba. Rabiba. Ra, ba, ya, ba, tamarbuta. Okay, rabiba. And rabiba, hiya bintu imra'at al-rajl. It is the daughter of the man's wife. It is the daughter of the man's wife. قِيلَ لَهَا رَبِيبَ لِتَرْبِيَتِهِ إِيَّاهَا. She is called Rabiba because the man, he gives her tarbiya. She is called Rabiba because of the man's tarbiya, meaning he took care of that girl. He raised her as if she were his own. He cultivates her. He feeds her. He clothes her. And he takes care of her as if she is his own. Therefore, he gives her tarbiya. This is where the word Rabiba comes from. Okay? He says, وَإِنَّمَا هِيَ مَرْبُوبَةٌ. So she is therefore marbuba. She is one who is cultivated and taken care of. صَرَفَ إِلَى رَبِيبَ. And over time, the word, it evolved until it became rabiba. Okay? كَمَا يُقَالْ هِيَ قَبِيلَ مِنْ مَقْبُولَ. Just as it is said in the Arabic language, قَبِيلَ, from the word مَقْبُولَ, and so on and so forth. He mentioned some other examples of that. Likewise, Al-Qurtubi, he said, الربيبة, that she is bint imra'at al-rajl min ghayrihi, that she is the daughter of the man's wife from other than him, meaning she has another father. She is the daughter of the man's wife from someone else. سُمِيَتْ بِذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ يُرَبِّيهَا فِي هُجْرِهِ. So she is called by way of this, Rabiba. Why? Because she is cultivated or the man he cultivates her inside of his home. فَهِيَ مَرْبُوبَ فَعِيلَ بِمَعْنَى مَفْعُولَ. So therefore, she is marbuba, meaning she is cultivated and raised, and it is on the wazn, in the Arabic language, it is on that particular pattern of fa'ila, bearing the meaning of maf'ula, meaning one who something is done upon. So therefore, she is the one who is cultivated. This is who the rabiba is. Al-waqfa al-thaniya, the second point. And it is the halat, or the states and conditions of the raba'ib. Of the raba'ib. Okay? لِلْرَبِيبَ ثَلَاثَ حَالَاتِ. The rabiba has three conditions. There are three states, three conditions that the stepchild, the stepdaughter specifically we're speaking about now, is in. Three states, three conditions. الْأُولَى, the first state. The first state. إِنْ كَانَتْ فِي هُجْرِ الزَّوْجِ وَدَخَلَ بِأُمِّهَا. She lived inside of the house of her mother's husband. She lives in his house. And he has consummated the marriage with her mother. Okay? She lives in his house, and he has consummated the marriage with the mother. This is the first state. Athani, the second state. In kana lam yadkhul bi ummiha sawa'an hiya fi hujrihi am kharija anhu. That he has not consummated the marriage with the mother. And it doesn't matter if she is living in his house or she's living somewhere else. He's never consummated the marriage with the mother, whether she's living in his house or she's living somewhere else. For example, the man, he may marry the woman may die before he consummates, or he may divorce her before he consummates. In this case, what is to become of that girl if she has a daughter from a previous marriage? So the second state is that he has not consummated the marriage with her, regardless of whether she lives in his house or she lives somewhere else. Athalitha, the second, or the third rather, in kanat laysat fi hujrihi wa dakhala bi ummiha. She does not live inside of his house. She lives somewhere else, and he has consummated the marriage with the mother. He has consummated the marriage with the mother, but her daughter lives somewhere else. Okay. Amma al-hala al-ula, as for the first state, the first condition, which was it? Which one was her? She lives in his house, and he has consummated the marriage with the mother. So this is that one. She lives inside of his home, and he has consummated the marriage with her mother. So this girl here, muharrama alayhi, she is haram for him. She is haram for him. Likitab wa sunnah wa ijma' al ummah. By way of the book of Allah, by way of the sunnah and the ijma' of the ummah. She is haram for him. Okay? As for aside of the Quran, the evidence from the book of Allah is the aforementioned verse. The verse that we mentioned, وَرَبَائِبُكُمْ, and your stepdaughters, your stepchildren, who are living inside of your home, from your women folk, who you have entered upon, meaning you have consummated the marriage with. So this verse is clear and defining her as being muharrama alayh. She is impermissible for her stepfather. Okay? As for a side of the sunnah, as for the evidence from the sunnah, then there is the hadith of Habibah. The hadith of Habibah, who is the wife of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she is Bint Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anha. That she said, Ya Rasulullah, ankih ukhti. She said, O Messenger of Allah, marry my sister. She said, O Messenger of Allah, marry my sister. Bint Abi Sufyan. And so the Messenger of Allah, he asked her, oh, what's he being a valet? You okay with that? Faqut, she said, Naam. She said, yes, I'm okay with that. She says, Lestu laka bi mukhliya. She said, I'm not, we're not in an exclusive, you know, you practice polygyny, and I'm all right with that. I know you marry other women, and I'm not your only wife. I'm okay with that. And she said, and I love that my sister should share with me in this goodness. I love that my sister should share with me in this goodness. فَقَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَا يَحِلُّ لِي. That's not permissible. It's not permissible to have two sisters in marriage at the same time. It's not permissible. He said, or she said, rather, قلت, she said, well, therefore, you should marry Bint Abi Salama, the daughter of Abu Salama. You should marry the daughter of Abu Salama. قال, he said, Bint Salama, you mean the daughter of Salama, my other wife? Okay, you want me to marry my other wife's daughter? So she said, nah. قال, he said, لو أنها لم تكن ربيبتي في هجري ما حلت لي. He said, even if she weren't my stepdaughter living inside of my house, she's still not permissible for me. Even if that weren't with a case. Right? Even if that were not the case. She's his stepdaughter living in his house. She's not permissible from that standpoint. But even if that weren't the case, she's still not permissible for me. Why? No, we already dealt with that. She's not permissible for, from that standpoint. But even if that weren't the case, she's still not permissible for him. Why?
That's the blood of her wife, huh?
We dealt with that already.
Still married to her mother.
No, we dealt with that already. She's the daughter of who? Of Abu Salama. And who was Abu Salama to the Messenger of Allah? Oh. He was his brother from Rada'ah. From breastfeeding, right? So the Messenger of Allah, he said that. So even if that weren't the case, that she weren't my stepdaughter living inside of my house, she's still not permissible for me. Why? He said, "Innaha," that she is the bit of Akhi min Rada'a. She is the daughter of my brother from breastfeeding. Arda'atni wa Abu Salama Thuwayba. That Thuwayba suckled me and Abu Salama. So therefore, he said, don't present to me for marriage your daughters nor your sisters. Don't present them to me for marriage. This is the evidence from the Sunnah that the stepdaughter is impermissible for the stepfather who has consummated the marriage with her mother. Amma al-Ijma'a, as for the consensus, فَقَدْ قَالَ أَبُ عُمَرْ إِبْنَ عَبْدِ الْبَرْ عَلَيْهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ أجمعت الأمة على أن الرجل إذا تزوج امرأة ولها ابنة أنه لا تحل له الابنة بعد موت الأم أو فارقها إن كان دخل بها. Ibn al-Barr, he mentioned, عليه رحمة الله, that the Ummah has consensus upon the fact that if a man marries a woman and she has a daughter, then that daughter is not permissible for him after the death of the mother, or if he separates from that mother. In kana dakhala biha, if he has consummated the marriage with the mother. If he has consummated the marriage with the mother. Likewise, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi, he said, اتفق الفقهاء, the fuqaha, they are in agreement, على أن الربيبة تحرم على زوج أمها, that the stepdaughter is impermissible for her mother's husband. إذا دخل بالأم, if he has consummated the marriage with the أم, وإن لم تكن الرَّبِيبَ فِي هُجْرِهِ, even if she is not the Rabiba who lives inside of his house. Meaning, even if she lives somewhere else, which is connected to a point that we're going to mention later. So this is the first state. The first state is who? The stepdaughter who, what? She lives inside of the house of her stepfather and he has consummated the marriage with the mother. الحالة الثانية, the second state, وهي الربيبة التي لم يدخل بأمها سواء هي في هجره أم خارج عنه وطلق الزوج الأم أو ماتت فجائز له أن يتزوج البنت بإجماع الأمة. The second state is the ربيبة who her mother's husband has not consummated the marriage with her. He has not consummated the marriage with her. Whether she lives in his house or she lives somewhere else. Okay? He said, and that the husband has divorced the mother, or the mother has passed away. In this case, the husband has never consummated the marriage with the mother. Ja'iz lahu. It is permissible for him to marry the bint. It is permissible for him in his state to marry the bint. And this is by way of consensus of the Ummah. And this is due to that which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentioned inside of the verse that we mentioned. The aforementioned verse. وَرَبَائِبُكُمْ أَلَتِي فِي هُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ أَلَتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ and your stepdaughters who are inside of your homes from your womenfolk who you have consummated the marriage with. فَلَمْ تَكُونُوا If you have not, دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِمْ If you have not consummated the marriage with them, فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْكُمْ There's no harm upon you. There's no harm upon you. Al-Qurtubi, he said, أَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَا عَلَى أَنَّ الرَّجْءِ إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْمَرْأَى ثُمَّ تَلَقَّهَا أَوْ مَاتَتْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَدْخَلَ بِهَا حَلَّ لَهُ نِكَاءَ ابْنَتِهَا Al-Qurtubi, he said, the ulama have ijma. They have ijma upon the fact that if a man were to marry a woman and then divorce her, or she passes away before he consummates the marriage with her, then it is permissible for him to marry her daughter. Likewise, Ibn Abdul Barr, he mentioned as well that the Ummah are united upon the fact that if the man, he has not consummated the marriage with the mother, and then he separates from her, that it is permissible for him to marry the Rabiba in this particular condition. When قَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ The statement of Allah Ta'ala, he said, مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ أَلَتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ From your women folk whom you have consummated the marriage with, this is a shart, is a condition that you have consummated the marriage with them. Right? And he said that this is a shartun sahih. It is a sound and correct condition. A sound and correct condition. Okay? So this is the second state of the Rabiba. Amma al-hal al-thalitha, the third state. What is that one? The third state of the Rabiba.
She doesn't live in the house. The marriage is consummated.
She does not live in the house of her stepfather, and the stepfather has consummated the marriage with the mother. So, this is that one. اختلفوا العلماء فيها على قولين. The scholars are different regarding her into two statements. The scholars are different regarding her into two statements. القول الأول, the first statement, أنها لا تحل له هو قول الجمهور. That she is not permissible for him. And this is the statement of the majority of the scholars, al-a'imma al-arba'a wa atba'ahum. The four imams and likewise their students. This is the statement of the jumhur, the majority of the scholars, the four imams and their students. Al-qawl al-thani, the second statement is that it is permissible for him to marry her after he has divorced her mother. Or the mother has passed away. وَلَمْ تَكُنْ الرَّبِيبَ فِي هُجْرِهِ And she is not a Rabiba who lives inside of his home. This is the second statement. Based upon the statement of the ulama, al-qawl al-rajih, the strongest statement is al-qawl al-awwal, the first statement, that she is not permissible for him. She is not permissible for him, even if she does not live in his, even if she does not live inside of his home. And this is based upon another version of the hadith that we read previously from Habiba. And in this particular narration, رضي الله عنها, قالت للرسول الله, she said to the Messenger of Allah, عليه السلام, that you should marry Durrah bint Abi Salama. You should marry Durrah, the daughter of Abu Salama. فقال رسول الله, the Messenger of Allah, he said, عليه السلام, على أم سلمة, you mean marry her in spite of the fact that I'm married to Salama? He said, لَوْ لَمْ أَنْكَحْ سَلَمَةَ مَا حَلَّتْ لِي Even if I didn't marry Salama, listen to the wording. Even if I did not marry Salama, she would still not be permissible for me. إِنَّ أَبَاهَا أَخِي مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ Because her father is my brother from Rada'a, from breastfeeding. So simply the fact that he married Salama in this particular narration made the daughter impermissible. Okay? Were it not for the fact that I married Salama, I said nothing about her living with him. In the first narration he mentioned, were she not my Rabiba living inside of my house. In this narration he mentions nothing about her living inside of his house. Okay? So simply the fact that he married her mother and consummated the marriage with her mother made her impermissible for him. Okay? 10b. I want to draw attention to a particular affair. And it is that Ibn Azawj, meaning غير الزوجة, كَذَلِكَ مُحَرَّمْ عَلَى زَوْجَةِ أَبِيهِ That the son of the husband, from other than the husband's wife, from other than the husband's wife. Likewise, it's impermissible for the husband's wife, his stepmother. She is likewise impermissible for her husband's son, and he for her. Okay? And this is based upon the verse which comes before that, which is verse 22. In Surah An-Nisa, verse 22, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْكُهُ مَا نَكَهَ آبَاءُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَىٰ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And do not marry those women whom your fathers have married from amongst the women. إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ, except that which has already taken place. I mean, at the time this verse came down, some of it had already taken place. So that which had already taken place, Allah Ta'ala pardon that. But going forward, do not do this anymore. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً. Why? This is something which is fahish, something which is lewd and despicable. وَمَقْتَ وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. It is something evil, and it is a bad way. 10b. Something else which should be mentioned. After hearing that which is established is the mahramiyah of the stepdaughter to her stepfather. She's mahram for him, he's mahram for her. He should look at her as though she's his daughter, although she's not his daughter in every respect. She's not his daughter in every respect. He should look at her as though she is his daughter. So, in spite of this, we find some of the men doing some improper things with their stepdaughters. Perhaps touching them, wa'iyadu billah. Perhaps molesting them, wa'iyadu billah. This is something which is despicable. It's something which is evil. To the point that as Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said that the one who does so should be executed. By the hakim, of course, by the ruler. By the ruler. Okay? Sheikh Uthaymeen's viewpoint is that the one who does so, yuqtal, he's executed. This is a crime. Punishable by death. Okay? Sheikh Uthaymeen, he mentioned in Sharh al-Mumti', when speaking about the one who molests or has intercourse with his mahram, somebody's mahram for him, he has intercourse with her. He said, ظاهر كلام المؤلف أنه لا فرق بين الزنا بذوات المحارم وغيرهم. He said that what is apparent from the speech of the author is that there's no difference between one who fornicates with his mahram and likewise other than them. He fornicates with someone else, meaning in terms of this individual should be put to death, right? لكن, he said, بذوات المحارم فيه القتل بكل حال. He said, however, as it relates to the one who fornicates with his mahram, someone is mahram for him, he fornicates with her, this person, no matter what the case may be, he's executed. No explanation. Whatever the case may be, he's executed. He says, مثلا, for example, لو زنا بأخته وعياذ بالله. A person fornicates with his sister, his biological sister, وعياذ بالله. أو بعمته, or with his paternal aunt, his father's sister. أو بخالته, or his maternal aunt, his auntie upon his mother's side. أو أم زوجته, or his wife's mother. أو بنت زوجته, or his wife's daughter. التي دخل بها, who he has consummated the marriage with his wife. أو ما أشبه ذلك, or whatever resembles this, فإنه يقتل بكل حال. This individual, he is executed no matter what the situation may be. Again, something for the hakim, for the ruler to do. Something for the ruler. This shows you the seriousness of this affair though. How serious this matter is. He said, and why is this? لِأَنَّ هَذَا الْفَرْجِ لَا يَحِلُّ بِأَيْحَالٍ مِنَ الْأَحْوَالِ. Because this private part is not permissible for him in any way, shape, form, or fashion. It's not permissible for him at all. Why? Because they are from his maharam. And because this is a greatly despicable action. He goes on to mention, Sheikh Uthaymeen, this narration, which comes from the authority of Ibn Abbas, which is attributed to the Messenger of Allah. It is attributed to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, مَنْ وَقَعَ عَلَى ذَاتْ مَحْرَمٍ فَاقْتُلُوهُ وَمَنْ وَقَعَ عَلَى بَهِيمَةٍ فَاقْتُلُوهُ وَاقْتُلُوا الْبَهِيمَةِ. He said that whoever is intimate with someone who's a mahram for him, execute him. He's to be executed. And whoever's intimate with an animal, execute him and put the animal to death as well. This narration, Imam Shawkani said concerning it, that inside of its chain of narration, inside of its chain of narration, there's an individual named Ibrahim ibn Ismail. وفيه مقال. He said it has an individual named Ibrahim ibn Ismail inside of his chain of narration, and there's some speech regarding him. There's some speech regarding him. ولكن, he said, Imam Shawkani, he said, قَدْ وَثَّقَهُ أَحْمَدُ. Imam Ahmad considered him to be thiqa, even though some of the ulama have some speech regarding him. At any rate, it shows you the seriousness of this affair, ayyul ikhwa, of being improper with your stepchildren. Oh, ya billah. Fa'ida, a point of benefit, لا يجوز الزواج من الأم بمجرد زواج بنتها ولو لم يدخلها. It is not permissible for a man to marry his wife's mother, no matter what the situation may be, simply by way of you marrying her daughter, even if you never consummate it. Even if you never consummate the marriage with the daughter, her mother is impermissible for you from the point that you entered into a marriage contract with her daughter. And this can be seen from the narration which Ibn Jarir he brings, saying, حدثنا ابن بشار حدثنا ابن أبي عدي وعبد الأعلى عن سعيد عن قتادة عن خلاص ابن عمر عن علي رضي الله عنه. The Ali he was asked concerning a man تزوج امرأة فتلقها قبل أن يدخل بها أي تزوج أمها. A man, he marries a woman and divorces her before consummating the marriage. Can he marry her mother? Can he marry her mother? قال, he said, هي بمنزلة الربيبة. That she has the same ruling of the ربيبة, meaning she's not permissible. She is not permissible for that man. 10b. Another point that we want to draw attention to connected to this affair. Rabibat al-Ab wa kadhalik al-Jad la tu'tabaru min maharim al-Abna' wa la al-Ahfad. That the stepchild of the father, likewise of the grandfather, is not considered to be mahram for the sons of her stepfather, her stepbrother. The step siblings are not mahram for each other. We have to pay attention to this. As mentioned before, we get married a lot of times, and some of us men, we have children. The women, they have children. Man may have boys. Women may have girls. Take this into consideration when you get married, when you're sitting down. You have children? Okay, I have children too. What do you have? You have girls? Okay, I have boys. How are we going to work this out? You got to take this into consideration, because once those children get older, they're not mahram for each other. And we know that they're not mahram for each other. And their fitra knows that they're not mahram for each other. Their natural disposition knows that they're not mahram for each other. They're permissible for each other to marry. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. Mistakes happen. Okay? As Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Ubaaz, he was asked this question. The questioner said, تزوج والدي, my father married a mother بعد وفاة والدتي, after my mother's death, رحمه الله. And this mother, and this woman, she has daughters. ولكن, however, my father divorced that woman, and that woman never gave birth to any children for him. Is it permissible for us to shake the hands of her daughters, to shake hands with them? And likewise to shake hands with her daughter's daughters? Sheikh bin Baz, he said, لَسْنَا مَحَارِمْ لَكُمْ. They are not mahadim for you. They are not your mahrams. He says, إِنَّمَا هُنَّ مَحَارِمْ لِأَبِيكْ. They are only mahram for your father. They are only mahram for your father, because he is the husband of their mother. And they are his raba'ib. They are his stepchildren, if it's the case that he consummated the marriage with their mother. Amma antum, as for you, then they are ajnabiyats. They are considered to be unrelated women to you. He says, lakum antatazawwaju bihin. You can marry them. You can marry them. These stepchildren, these step-siblings can marry each other. Bear this in mind. You got to take precaution. Okay? Take precaution. Or either be prepared to marry them off as they get older. One of the two. Take precaution. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with the marrying. This is our deen about Allah. Okay? Either be prepared to marry them to each other, or you take precaution beforehand. Okay? Nah. He said, they are not your sisters. And they are not your stepchildren. They are only your father's stepchildren. Al-Waqfa Al-Thalitha, the third point. And it's the final point. And it is connected to the tarbiyah, the upbringing of stepchildren. Ibadallah, there's nothing inside of our deen, nothing inside of the religion of Islam that says that we should shy away from marrying a woman who has children. Nothing inside of our deen that says we should shy away from marrying a woman that has children. Nor that a woman should shy away from marrying a man that has children. Okay? In fact, the best of mankind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did it. He married Salama. She had children. Likewise, the Sahaba, they would marry the wives of each other. One Sahabi dies, another Sahabi marries, and like this, takes care of his children. Okay? The best of the people, they did it. Nothing at all in the religion that says we should shy away from this particular affair. So, but when we do, when we marry, and the woman that we marry, or the man that you marry, has children from a previous marriage, then there comes a sense of responsibility along with that. There comes responsibility along with this. We find the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, as it relates to his stepchildren, taking on the role of a cultivator, cultivating them, kind with them, gentle with them, loving them, teaching them, educating them. This is from the responsibility of the stepfather. Now they're inside of your home. You're not responsible for them. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, in a well-known narration from Umar ibn Abi Salama, Umar the son of Abu Salama. Again, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, was the brother of Abu Salama by way of milk suckling, right? And after the death of Abu Salama, he married his wife, Salama. The Messenger of Allah married his wife, Salama. Okay? And she had children. And here we have this narration from Umar ibn Abi Salama, the son of Abu Salama. May Allah Ta'ala be pleased with him and his father. Qala, he said, Kunt gulaman fi hujri Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was a young man living in the house of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam. My stepfather, I'm living with my stepfather. Now, and another narration, he mentioned Kuntu ma'an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another narration, he mentioned I was along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa kainat yadi tatish. That my hand, when we brought out the sahfa, yani the dish that we would all eat from, my hand used to be all over the place. I'm grabbing from here, grabbing from there. I'm getting whatever I thought looked good, picking it up, putting it in my mouth, eating it. Right? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Ghulam, Samillah. Teaching him, educating him, teaching him adab. Teaching him adab, young man. Samillah. Say Bismillah before you eat. Eat with your left hand, or eat with your right hand. Eat from that which is directly in front of you. Eat from that which is closest to you. As a point of benefit, what they mean, he mentions that this is when everyone is eating from one dish. Right? If everyone is eating from one dish, then what is required upon you that you eat from that which is closest to you. Right? And if you don't eat from here, eat from all over the place. You eat from that which is closest to you. If you're eating on your own plate, you can eat from wherever you want to eat from. On your own plate. Okay? But look at the tarbiyah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam, teaching and educating his stepson. And he said, the narrator, he said, his stepson, فَمَا زَالَ تِلْكَ طُعْمَتِي بَعْ. And he said, every since then, that has been my eating habit. Every since then, that which I learned from my stepfather, that which he cultivated me upon from good manners, good etiquette, that has been my eating habit ever since then. Teaching, educating, cultivating. This is the role of the step-parent. Be prepared. Be prepared. Lastly, we mentioned, in closing, a piece of advice which we got for our Sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad, Ibn Muhammad Saghir Al-Qur, some time ago. We asked him this question after a conversation with our brother Anwar Wright, and decided to put this question to Sheikh Muhammad Al-Qur on the basis of his conversation which I had with our brother. And the question reads thus. This is what we asked Sheikh Muhammad Al-Qur. There's a problem here in America, and perhaps it is also in other places. And this question, along with the answer, can be found on mtws.posthaven.com with this translation along with the audio. Okay? There's a problem here in America. Perhaps it is also in other places, and Allah knows best. And it is that a man may marry a woman who has children from her previous marriage. The children are ill-mannered. They're bad kids. And they say to their mother's husband, those words, as men, we don't want to hear. What you think they are? Unanimous. You ain't my daddy. You're not my father. Okay? The intent behind this statement is, I don't have to respect you because you're not my real father. This can cause problems between the spouses and could perhaps result in divorce. So what is your advice to men who marry women with children that are ill-mannered, and likewise advice to the children and to the mothers, benefit us, and may Allah reward you with good. As Sheikh Muhammad Al-Qur, Hafidah Allah, the Sheikh is in his 70s. And with that age comes wisdom. It comes experience. Okay? He didn't answer the question. Nowhere near how I thought he was going to answer the question. But his answer is full of fawaid, full of benefits. Full of benefits. The Sheikh, Hafidah Allah, he said, if a man embarks upon marriage to a woman that has children, then he is aware and he knows that she is not like other than her from the women who are free from these types of concerns. Right? You knew this going in, that she had children. You knew going in that she had children. Okay? He said, he should not forget that a woman loves her children no matter who they are from, be it him or other than him. So firstly, he must take into consideration her feelings. Secondly, he should tolerate their harm out of consideration for their mother and goodness to them. That's your wife, man. That's your wife. That's your beloved. So you're going to put up with something from harm. You're going to be patient with that on the account of the one whom Allah Ta'ala has placed inside of your life. He said, for children are such that their natural disposition is lack of respect, lack of reverence, lack of patience. What does it mean by this? That they have to be taught these things. You have to teach the children, cultivate them, teach them how to respect adults. Teach them how to treat you, how to deal with you. Alright? You got to teach them, cultivate them upon these matters, because it doesn't come with the package. It doesn't come with the package. You got to teach them, you got to educate them, and cultivate them upon this barakallahu fikum. He said, when the Prophet ﷺ proposed to Salama, radiallahu anha, initially she did not agree. And he asked her the reason for this, and she said, O Messenger of Allah, nothing has prevented me from accepting, except that I am extremely jealous. I mean, I know that you are a man who marries multiple women. You practice polygyny, and I'm a very jealous woman. Right? And she said, and also I have children. And I fear that I will be negligent of you, or that I would bear a sin due to shortcoming in my dealings with you. Meaning, because I have these kids to deal with. I got these kids to think about and to concentrate on. I'm going to be chasing behind them, feeding them, clothing them, changing them, doing all this to them. And I'm not going to be able to, you know, think about your rights and what you have coming. She was fearful of Allah Ta'ala as it relates to falling short concerning the rights of her husband. But look at the words of the Messenger of Allah, Rahmah to the Alameen. And from the foremost recipients of that Rahmah, those who were closest to him, his family. Messenger of Allah said, as for her, or as for your children, then your children will be my children. This is a Roger, this is a man right here. This is a man. As for your children, they're going to be my children. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to take care of them. Okay? Didn't tell her, you know, because some men, they try to take easy way out, coward's way out. You know, not my kids anyway. I'm not responsible for them anyway, looking for loopholes and stuff like this. The Rosh Hashanah, he said, your children will be my children. I'm going to treat them like mine. He said, so this is an evidence, the Sheikh says, that when a man takes a woman to, who has children, that either he can take her and along with what she has, or take her and along with her whatever she has from responsibilities and bear that and be patient, or he can leave her. Maybe not marry her, marry somebody else. You knew going in, as he mentioned, you knew going in that she had children. You don't know these children. You don't know how they are. So you chose to marry her. Be patient. You could have said, no, I don't care. I don't want to marry a woman that has children. I want to marry somebody else. You could have said that in the beginning. Don't now, once the children start getting on your nerves, they start bouncing off the walls in the house, you start looking for a way out. Right? You could have got out in the beginning. You didn't have to marry her. He said, but since he has taken her and married her, then from good manners, good etiquette, and good treatment, is that he puts up with the harms from her children, even when they tell him that he is not their father. And the Sheikh said, this is correct. He is not their father. So, but he puts up with it for the benefit of himself and the benefit of his wife until Allah Ta'ala makes a way out for him from that difficulty. Similarly, if the woman takes a husband who has children, and she knows that he has children, it is obligatory upon her, when she takes him and accepts him, that she accepts him along with what he has from responsibilities, and that she does not come the next day and say to him, it's either me or your children. It's not possible. Since she came to him while he already had children. Therefore, she is to be patient in putting up with their harm and treat them as if they are her own children. No. So I say to both, the man and the woman, if either of them takes the other while he or she has children who have manners which are not pleasing, not noble, not honorable, not religious, rather they are sassy mouth and impatient when dealing with them, it is obligatory upon him or her to take this into consideration. I say, since this man has taken this woman that has children, let him be patient and seek the reward for his treatment of them. He should not threaten her, saying that either she should rectify her kids or he would divorce her. This is not from goodness and not from good association with one's spouse. Rather, he should be patient and put up with their harm and treat them well and accept from that which contains a degree of harm for the sake of their mother. Otherwise, the marital home will not be rectified. It will not thrive. It will not last. He said that the man and the woman inside of the marital home, they're like doctors. They're like doctors. The husband and the wife inside of the home, they're like two doctors. They look at the illnesses which are present within the family, and they treat those illnesses with wisdom, each party acting from his or her respective position. The man acting from the position of the man, woman acting from the position of the woman, and they work together as a team, and they cure the ills that are inside of their home so that their household can thrive, it can flourish, and it can be successful. Until Allah, the glorified and high, brings relief at their hands, and it unifies them, and they live in harmony. As long as they have this responsibility, the man takes the woman while she has children, or vice versa, the woman must be patient with the one who has this as his condition until Allah brings about relief. This is the advice given to us by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Muhammad Saghir al-Qur, hafidhahullah ta'ala, and as we mentioned, it is translated on mtws.posthaven.com along with the audio for this question and its answer. This is that which you wanted to present to our brothers and our sisters for the sake of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala concerning this affair of step parenting and Sabbatidim al-Islam. And we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to make it a benefit for those who have heard it, those who have been attentive, those who have taken notes, those who are listening online or in person. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.